Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Son, Pottsville.
I appreciate you guys listening. I wanted to try something a little bit different, you know? Sometimes you got to keep you on your toes. I can't let you know what to expect every single time you turn into the drive, so we switched it up a little bit. We had Powerhouse Hobbs on the show. I'm now a trios champion, Rob. Unfortunately, you are not a trios champion. You're a heel in this story. I get to be the champion in all of this. You didn't have a favorite wrestler as a kid. That's why you can't participate. That's why you can't be a champion with me.
I'm just excited. I'm cutting it right now. You said you're proud to be part of the ops. That is something we'll be using
I'm not the ops.
I heard that on the air. I'm like, oh, did he just say I'm part of the ops? No. Oh, and mark that and get that done immediately.
That's why I didn't want nothing to do with that. That's why he said you in the ops. I'm like, hold on. Then he said I had to start chanting meat. I'm not chanting meat with you tomorrow. Absolutely not. Let me read to you guys a little bit of a blurb. Now, there was a study that was done by the University of Texas, El Paso. For those of you that are wondering, where in the world is the University of Texas, El Paso? Have you guys seen the movie Glory Road? That's UTEP. That's a real school. Yes, UTEP. So I don't know why they did this study. I don't know why taxpayer dollars were spent towards this, but this is a real study. Research was done by a team at UTEP that presents evidence that the Chiefs have benefited from slanted officiating from 2015 to 2023, a time that coincided with their rise as one of the most marketable franchises in the league. Hold on. Hold on. Because this doesn't make any sense. Wait, this is what you want me to think. You want me to think back in 2015, when Patrick Mahomes is a sophomore at Texas Tech and in the middle of Alex Smith, Jason Avant, you want me to think that there was a master conspiracy from the National Football League to build up a franchise who had won one playoff game in the last 25 years in the 33rd media market in the country? You want me to think that one day Roger Goodell and whoever his handlers are, whoever is Roger Goodell's close inner circle, you want me to believe that one day the commissioner of the league said, you know what? Press the button. And folks around like, oh, we've never done that before. Yeah. And then somebody said, no, wait, why don't we do this for the Bears? He was like, nah, too obvious. And somebody's like, well, what if we do that for the Cowboys? And then Roger's like, psh. Come on now. Give me a little bit more of a challenge than that. Well, what about the teams in New York? What about Chicago? What about we just put two teams in Los Angeles? No, you know what? I mean, we'll press the small button for Los Angeles. We'll just give them a pass interference call. But we're going to put the full package, the works, to make sure that the Chiefs are the team of the 2020s. That's on the front end of it in 2015. Did you guys hear, at least according to this study, when it stopped? It stopped in 2023. So let me get this straight. This is what they want me to believe. I'm serious. This is what they want me to believe. They want me to believe that the league started this fixing in 2015 when Patrick Mahomes was a sophomore at Texas Tech. They then want me to believe while it was working and super successful in a way that none of them could have foreseen, where the Chiefs then draft the best quarterback of their generation, their tight end then becomes one of the biggest pop culture icons, then starts to date and is set to be married to one of the greatest figures in the history of music. They just decided, nah, we're good. So they just stopped. That's what they want me to believe. So they started this before the Mahomes era, and then in the middle of the Mahomes era, while it would be the most profitable and most advantageous to then help Kansas City, they were like, nah, we're good. We got it. Our work here is done. We've done enough. Now, I know you guys might be wondering, why would they have done this? Well, let me read to you what Spencer Barnes has a PhD. He is a doctor. He led this study. This wasn't done by some Rudy Poo. This is done by somebody who went to school long enough where they put PhD on your title. Quote, our findings suggest that the league's financial health is at stake. Rule enforcement may subtly shift to protect market appeal. And the fact that postseason penalties consistently favor one franchise while similar dynasties have sown no such pattern points to the powerful role of financial incentives in shaping neutral decisions. So this is what they're saying, Rob. This man who is a doctor, I can't stress this enough. This is not random Bills fan 123 on Instagram. This is somebody who went to school and got their doctorate. He is arguing that the league started to help the Kansas City Chiefs because viewership was declining because of Colin Kaepernick. I'm not joking. I swear to you guys, I'm not making this up. Spencer believes that the result of financial pressure from the league stemming from the sharp decline in viewership in 2015 to 2017, marked by controversy over racial issues, led to this. These people are nuts. You can't hear this any other way than how I hear it. These people are cuckoo. They're cuckoo. So they want me to believe that when Colin Kaepernick was protesting and the ratings were going down, that the league was trying to figure out how we were going to get ourselves out of this. And they just played Wheel of Dynasty and they spun the wheel and it landed on the Kansas City Chiefs. And like, well, I mean, we got to do something. Here we go. We got to create one team that's better than everybody. Let's really give ourselves a challenge. I mean, it'd be too easy if we just made it the Dolphins and we just picked Miami. That's too easy. No. We got to pick it in little Kansas City. I mean, think about every other dynasty. It was San Francisco and Dallas and New England. Like, we've conquered dynasties in big markets. We got to now try to conquer a dynasty in a smaller market. Okay. All right. I can't take these people seriously. They're nuts. Every single one of them. This man, nuts. Craig Carton. Nuts.
Not one penalty in a 60-minute game of football when Detroit executes, coming somewhat sloppily, but when Detroit executes the touchdown pass to Jared Goff in the first half, all of a sudden it's a touchdown, and then tick-tock, tick-tock, the referees somehow decide, wait a minute, we're going to call that touchdown off because he didn't settle himself before running in motion there to the left side. And I'm sitting there going, these might very well be the two best teams in all of football, and I'm ready for a great game. But when one team does not get called for a single penalty, it's like, come on, guys. Like, there's a part of me that appreciates the transparency that the NFL is doing everything in their power to help Kansas City get to 500, which they did last night. And I guess the NFL didn't want to live in a world where the Kansas City Chiefs were 2-4 and in the basement of their own division, let alone, you know, fighting for a wild card spot in the conference. But come on, man. The Kansas City Chiefs no longer win on merit. Period. Stop.
I'm here to tell you right now that these people are nuts. I'm not joking. There's something wrong with these people. Seriously. A college, a real place of higher learning, did a study and they concluded that the league has been rigging games from the Chiefs since 2015 because of Colin Kaepernick. That's what he said. And then they stopped in the middle of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's relationship. They just stopped. Okay. All right. Real quick, where were the officials at when the Marcus Mariota thing happened? I mean, that happened during this time frame, right? I'm not crazy, right? Where was the officials rigging the games at when they called holding on Eric Fisher in the postseason when the Chiefs were trying to go for a 2-point conversion at home against the Steelers? Why did they not press the button then? They didn't get the memo? These people, what is wrong with them? Has it always been like this? Maybe I'm just now noticing it, and maybe it's social media, which amplifies these things. Have people always been like this? Because I think they're cuckoo, legitimately cuckoo. For you to go on the air and say that the Chiefs don't win games on merit, that's telling the rest of us that we shouldn't listen to you. That's what the sign is. Hey, don't take what I'm saying seriously. These people, I don't know what's going on. Maybe you guys know. 913-586-7965. I genuinely think that they're nuts. I think something is wrong. I think something's off, and we got to figure out what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't stop laughing about this study. I know we got to move on. I want to move on. I promise you we'll move on. It's just, it's nuts. For those of you that missed it, there was a story that was posted that there was a research study done by the University of Texas, El Paso, and they have concluded that the Chiefs have benefited from slanted officiating from 2015 to 2023. And this is because the league was struggling after Colin Kaepernick. So they needed to create a dynasty. This is not something I made up. This is from a real reputable university. And it was led by Spencer Barnes. He has a PhD. He is a professor of finance at UTEP. And he was the lead author of the study. And he has concluded that postseason penalties have consistently favored one franchise, while no other dynasty has received this, but it has helped the Chiefs, and it was shaped by financial decisions. So the offsides that benefited the New England Patriots and hurt the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know how that factors in. I don't know how Marcus Mariota factors in. I don't know how holding in the playoff game. I don't know how those things work, but I'm here to just give you guys the information. That's my job. That is my responsibility. It is to inform you on what people are saying about the Kansas City Chiefs. Why don't we continue to do that? You know what? Why don't we just clear our mind and let's hear what Nick Wright thinks about the Kansas City Chiefs, shall we?
We are so back, baby. You know how we're back? The opposing team's whining about officiating. There's conspiracy theorists online. The offense is the best it's been since 2022 when Mahomes set the all-time yardage, combined yardage record. The defense, which I was worried about after week one, has progressively gotten better. The Jags game notwithstanding. Rashee is back. We're done with it. The suspension's over. And if they're not the best team, who is? You're going to watch the Chargers or the Broncos this weekend, who are leading the AFC West, try their damnedest to lose to two of the three worst teams in football, no disrespect to the Tennessee Titans, and say they're the best. We're going to say the Bills with that defense or the Steelers with that offense. Can't say the Lions. Lions got their lunch money stolen last night.
That's what people were saying
before. Right.
The
only – you could argue – my NFC Super Bowl pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I do think they have been very impressive and resilient going through injury. But they're the best team in football. And we all know when it flipped.
maybe this is what it's like to be a Kansas basketball fan. And Rob, you can attest to this. I mean, in no shape, form, or fashion do I ever want to be associated as being a Kansas basketball fan. In fact, there is no team that I dislike more. There is no team that I want to see lose more than the University of Kansas in basketball. But I will admit, whenever it's a close game at Allen Fieldhouse, I be waiting for the officials to do some Kansas basketball things. It'll be 78-78 with 50 seconds to go. And I just know, they're about to call a foul on Texas Tech that puts KU to the line. I'm just sitting around waiting for it. Maybe I am one of those people. Maybe I am the person that I'm making fun of now because I do this. But Nick is right. This is when you know people are really worried about the Chiefs. Whenever people start to go and they're watching football games on super slow motion on the All-22 film, when people start doing studies that tell you that the league was rigged back when Nile Davis was returning kicks against the Brian Hoyer-led Houston Texans team, that lets you know that they're really worried about the Chiefs, that they know what's about to happen, that the Chiefs are about to rattle off 7 of their next 8 and get the 1 seed. That's usually how you can tell. That is the sign of it. Whenever we start complaining about the officiating at Allen, it normally means that KU is about to win the league. I wasn't complaining about the officiating at Allen last year. They wasn't no good. In fact, that was the best officiating games I've ever seen at Allen Fieldhouse. They lost multiple times in that building. I saw David Booth one time. He just shook his head in disgust. I'm paying for this? That's how I know that things are about to turn around for the Chiefs, that now this is what people are talking about, is they're blaming the officials and saying the Chiefs can't win without help. How did the officials even help Kansas City on Sunday? Maybe it's because I was there. I had a little bit to drink. I didn't have that much. Well, I don't remember the game. What are they even arguing about on Sunday Night Football? Is it that one play with Travis Kelce where the Chiefs sped it up? And what are you people even arguing about from Sunday's game where the officials played some major part in the game? They dumped the Lions.
First and foremost, you are correct. Chiefs fans are now KU fans. People hate you because you're winning, and people think you get all the calls because you're winning, and it's not some massive conspiracy that your building makes the refs different. It's just you're better than everyone. KU fans, Chiefs fans, or the Spider-Man meme. Two, I don't feel this way. I want that caveat. But I would bet the Craig Carton types are mad about the timeline of which Jared Goff's penalty got called. That is my assumption on the call they believe was wrong. They think you can't review penalties. Jared Goff scored. Somehow a penalty got reviewed and the Chiefs benefited. That is what people who are doing the March of Losers are doing right now. They are complaining about the officials. I believe that is their complaint. I think that complaint is stupid, but that is their complaint.
Someone on the text line just texted in, CDOT, are you ready to admit this fee didn't travel? All right, don't push it. This is what I mean. That man did the cha-cha slide on the way to the rim. Come on now. See, that's what normally happens. You guys start, there's a little bit of truth, and then you take it way too far. Just a little bit too far. Someone on the text line makes a really good point. Rob, if the league wanted to rebound in a post-Kaepernick world, why didn't they pick Atlanta or Washington, D.C. or Detroit? Like, if the league wanted to show some kind of racial solidarity, why did they pick Kansas City, Missouri, with Alex Smith as their quarterback for the team that was going to get them on the other side of players kneeling on the field? I feel like if you really were going to put this conspiracy together, you know what? You maybe should have made Baltimore really good. You know, I feel like there were better cities to pick. I mean, I'm happy that they picked this one. I'm really happy that the NFL rigged it that way. But if that's the why, if the why is in a post-Kaepernick world, the league interest was down, so they needed to create a dynasty, I feel like there were more obvious choices to get us out in a post-Kaepernick world. Why didn't they pick San Francisco? To just show, hey, look, they didn't even need them. Who knows? It's all confusing to me. Let me play for you guys what Colin Cowherd had to say about the Chiefs.
Everybody's worst nightmare is now official. The Kansas City Chiefs once again are the best team in professional football. First 3 weeks, Mahomes was wobbly. They were averaging 20 points a game. And in their last three games, they're now averaging 32 points along with that defense and along with those special teams. Sorry, NFL, they did it again. Kansas City, only Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they're the only people in this league that can take number two and number three wide receivers. They can take Hollywood Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and backup left tackles and okay running backs and get into the 30s. Xavier Worthy, with any other team, would he be this good? All they do is make it work. Andy Reid is the great chef. He's the Gordon Ramsay. Everything in the kitchen has a role. Let's just keep tinkering. Let's keep figuring out a way to make everything work.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, are you ready to admit that Thomas Robinson got a clean block? Yo, why are y'all doing this? There was no need for this. You know what? I introduced this when I said Kansas basketball. Now you guys are going to use my take to try to troll me. You know that wasn't a clean block with Thomas Robinson.
Was a foul called?
Okay.
Thank you, John Higgins. Great call, as always.
And Rob, you know that's not even the one that upsets me. You know the foul from that game that upsets me. I get it. It's not the image that the block was. The fact that they called that foul to put Tyshawn Taylor on the line. KU won that game by shooting two free throws. Shameful work. There's no other building in America they would have called that foul with less than 30 seconds to go in overtime other than Allen Fieldhouse on a ticky-tack foul to put KU at the free throw line. That's the foul that really upsets me. Not really the block. The block just sends the game to overtime. Like, all right, whatever. Like, go win it in the 5 minutes. Missouri was in the process of winning it in the 5 minutes, and that opportunity was taken away from them. I don't know why you guys see. I'm trying to talk football here, and you guys have derailed me. Derailed me. So now you're willing to miss feed and travel. What are you talking about? That man did the hotline bling dance on the way to the rim. You guys tell me you can't watch the NBA. You watch Svi, that happens every night in the league. It's celebrated. Here's the last one I'll play for you, Kyle Brandt.
This is like Michael Myers got up. You're supposed to set him on fire and pour holy water on him. How the hell you kill him? You have to keep him down because they had a real reality where when you're a team that starts 0-2, you're a team that starts 1-2, like maybe you might miss the playoffs. Maybe you 2-3, you miss the playoffs. Now they're 3-3. They just beat, allegedly, what I thought was the best team in the NFL by double digits in a game that wasn't terribly close. All I care about with the Chiefs is, are you in the playoffs? Just get in. If they get in at 10-7 and they're a wild card on the road, it's still, they're different from every other team in the club because they win the AFC every single year. Here are the facts. They are still in third place in their own division, guys. They're in third place in their own division. They have already lost to the Chargers. It's not like they got it made. They got a lot of work to do, a lot. This is not like, oh man, they beat the Lions. Well, Arrowhead Invitational, the AFC title game. No. They got months of work to do. But to your point, Worthy made a difference when he came back. Rice is going to make a difference when he comes back. And I think the Chiefs defense was embarrassed against Jacksonville. They were humiliated, not just Chris Jones. You know, they let Jacksonville go down the field in the last play and win, the last drive and win. Their defense was amazing last night. You don't see the Jared Goff Lions get held to 17 points. 30-17, they are alive, they are well, and everybody who is dancing a jig, trying to get engagement, saying the Chiefs are done, they're done, they're done, they're not done, they're never going to be done, and they just beat the Lions in one of the most impressive wins of the season. So Chiefs very much alive, it's a problem for everybody else.
I'm not saying that people didn't say this, so I don't want you to interpret it this way. Who was saying the Chiefs were done in week 5 of the NFL season? Because if you were saying that the Chiefs were done in week 5 of the NFL season, there's absolutely no reason to listen to your football commentary ever again. On any team, any subject, at any week 5? And the Chiefs were done? Based on what? They were 2-2 and lost to close game on Monday Night Football against a team that we think is going to make the postseason. They had a rookie left tackle. They didn't have their number one wide receiver. How could anyone have thought that the Chiefs were done? Again, I'm not saying people didn't say it or did say it. I just didn't see it, but I believe it. I certainly believe that people said that about the Chiefs because people are idiots. That's what we've learned so far in the first 30 minutes of this segment, is that people are idiots. I can't imagine formulating that thought and that opinion about really any team that you think is good right now in the league. I mean, how could you think that about San Francisco or the Rams or any team? I just look at the league right now. Everybody really appears to be in it other than the Jets and the Saints. Everybody seems to have a chance right now. This is the most parity I think we've ever seen, at least in the early portion of the National Football League season. Rob, I had not thought of this until my dear friend Matt Oates just sent me this, and I want to get your opinion on it about Patrick Mahomes since we led the show talking about him potentially winning MVP. Do you think that Mahomes can win MVP if the Chiefs don't win their division? Because in the middle of this, the Chiefs have always won their division. Now, maybe Mahomes puts up a fantastic year. I mean, he's currently in the middle of having a fantastic year. Mahomes is once again proving that he's the best quarterback in the National Football League. Do you think that he can win the award if, let's say in this scenario, the Chiefs win 11 games, which is not outside the realm of possibility, and the Chargers win 12 games, and the Chargers are the team that represents the AFC West? Do you think that Mahomes can win MVP in that scenario?
No. I think he has to win the division. Because, let's be honest about what the MVP is, and I mean this as a positive toward Patrick Mahomes, it is as much narrative-driven as it is statistical-driven. And the story of Patrick Mahomes coming off getting boat raced in the Super Bowl and a couple bad statistical seasons and then starting 0-2 and then ascending to AFC West champion, the one seed, you know, Arrowhead Invitational, all those things all over again. If he does all of that while having a 2022-like statistical year, then I think he can win MVP. But I think if it's 0-2 and they battle back and they made the postseason, but the Chargers, the Broncos, whomever was still able to keep them at bay and win the AFC West, and now Patrick Mahomes is playing road games in the playoffs because he didn't win the division, I don't know he can win MVP. I think the story, the narrative is very important with the award, and the story of Mahomes bouncing back to get back to the one seed is appetizing for the award, but bouncing back to be the sixth seed or the five seed in the AFC doesn't move people in the same way. So I think he has to do a lot of statistical work and a lot of winning on the field to rise to the one seed and AFC West champion, because without that, I do not believe he can win the award.
Yeah, I think kind of when in doubt this year, they'll give it to a new player. I mean, I think that's kind of been the theme of really MVPs in general. I would say last year, for example, in the NBA, you know, we love to bring up basketball. Last year, Jokic was probably the best player in the league, but Jokic has already won MVP. So they gave it to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who certainly was a deserving MVP, and his team won the championship last year. So no harm, no foul in him winning the award last year. I could see Mahomes being in a real similar conversation, especially if the other person is Baker Mayfield. I think it's different if it's Josh Allen, because Allen won the award last year and these two play a head-to-head game. So whoever wins that kind of has a heads up, at least in regards to who could win MVP. But I do feel like if it's close at the end of the season and Tampa Bay has a chance to be the one seed in the NFC, which is a realistic possibility, I think Baker's likability, I think, gives him the nod in that, unless the Mahomes numbers are just undeniable. Like, he has to throw for 4,700 yards, 42 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions. Like, you just put up one of those seasons, like, all right, we got to give it to you. But I do feel like if it's close, in the same way we say in baseball, tie goes to the runner, I think the tie kind of goes to the new guy. I think they just want to create a new storyline. Mahomes has already won two. He's won Super Bowl MVP 3 times. He's going first ballot Hall of Fame. Like, there's no harm in not giving it to him. Let's create a new storyline. Baker makes us feel good. That's why I think Baker has a chance of being the favorite, at least when it comes to getting that award. Coming up in just a little bit, I want to tell you guys that there is a team that is interested in Matt Nagy being their head coach. We'll talk about that coming up in a bit. Rob, you and I have spent a lot of time talking about the Chiefs' run game. I want to give you a stat. This stat is centered around Isaiah Pacheco. Did you know that when Isaiah Pacheco has run the ball from shotgun, Isaiah Pacheco is averaging 3.6 yards per carry? He has not been very successful when they have decided to do that. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, it was in the 5 o'clock hour. I don't remember what exactly day it was, but you remember I gave my four fixes for the Chiefs offense. And one of them is you got to start getting Isaiah Pacheco going downhill. You need to get in single back. You need to get Mahomes under center, turn around, and hand him the football. Because I felt the biggest problem with Isaiah Pacheco was he was just thinking too much. He just wasn't his usual self. You got to get him and get his confidence back and get him a full head of steam, running forward, running over people, and playing with that fire. Well, did you know that when the Chiefs run the ball under center with Isaiah Pacheco, that 3.6 yards per carry moves up to 5.2 yards per carry? Now, I know you guys don't want to give this person any credit, but maybe, just maybe, that adjustment comes from their offensive coordinator. I know it's possible. I know it's possible that maybe the Chiefs saw something that was going wrong with the run game. They were listening to this show, because you know that this show is a petri dish of ideas. One day, Matt Nagy was driving home and heard my suggestion and said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to try that. And then he went home and he was having the old, he had the old school projector out. The old school film, not on the iPad. He had the old school projector. He's an old school ball coach. He's like, you know what? Let me start designing some under center runs for Isaiah Pacheco. And now look, they've sparked the run game. 5.2 yards per carry under center. I know you guys won't thank these two people, but again, I got to use this show as a platform to pat myself on the back. Let me pat myself on the back about Matt Nagy and being the only believer in Matt Nagy. Let me also pat myself on the back for suggesting that they should just run the ball under center more. And look, it has been an overwhelming success that when they run the ball from under center, it's actually worked very well for the Chiefs.
If we're going to, you know, pat you on the back.
To start hating.
No, I'm going to. If we're going to pat you on the back.
You need a button I can start pressing when you start hating.
If we're going to pat people on the back who were unpopular among Chiefs Twitter that could help improve the run game, can we also pat Kingsley Suamataia on the back?
You can.
Because he has been really good in run blocking this year. I know the thought was, well, he was a bust. After the first couple preseason games, it was, oh, God, he stinks. Remember that story came out from St. Joe that Jalen Moore was taking some reps at guard, and it was, you know, oh, we got to cut him. He stinks. He's a what a total failure. This, that, and the other. Kingsley Suamataia is a really good run blocking guard. And no, he's not as good as Joe Tooney. But the interior, as Chris Collinsworth calls it, the red wall, which is a terrible nickname, but that's neither here nor there. That Kingsley, Creed, and Trey Smith group is starting to maul people again. So it's not just scheme, which it is scheme. Good job, Matt Nagy. Good job, Andy Reid. I think they are getting more out of their interior offensive line, which includes fan least favorite, Kingsley Suamataia.
Someone on the text line said, ego much, C-Dot. I only have to do this. You guys, this is your fault. You guys get on me so much when I get things wrong, but then when I'm right, no one says, you know what, Carrington, that was a good take. You were right. So I have to do it. You know Rob's not going to do it. Rob, he's my biggest op. He's the biggest op I have. Somebody has to do it. I said this weeks ago. I said, run the ball under center. Look, the Chiefs have done it. They've fixed Isaiah Pacheco. You guys hated on Matt Nagy. I believed him. I was the only one in the city. It was me and Matt Nagy standing there. And now look, he's about to interview. Not interview. He is being suggested to an NFL team. I'll tell you which one it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with C-Dot. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The text line refuses to see my contribution, and that's okay. I'm just going to be here. I'm just going to show up every day. I'm just going to do my work, and I'm just going to go home. I know I won't get credit for a couple of weeks ago. I suggested that a major problem with their run game was them not running the ball under center. And I suggested that that's what they should do. You can go back. You can check it. I gave a four-prong approach on how to change the offense. The Chiefs started doing it, and look, they turned things around. I mean, you guys hear my voice on that franchise show all the time. You know they listen to the show. We inspired them. But it's okay. No one wants to give me the credit for it. It's all right. I'll manage, Rob. I'll manage. Rob, you went to Long John Silver last night for dinner. How was it?
I did not go to Long. No one has ever been to Long John Silver's.
I wasn't sure.
If people tell you they're going to Long John Silver's, what they're actually telling you is there's some sort of elaborate drug trade happening, because no one has been like, fried fish from Long John's that now has chicken on the logo. No one's ever wanted that.
Okay, I apologize. I wasn't sure. I thought you told me earlier today that you went to Long John Silver's. I apologize. I'm sorry. I want to play this for you. This was Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Tennessee, you guys know, the Titans, not the Volunteers. Tennessee, they fired their head coach. They are looking for someone to replace him. Listen to one of the names.
As far as the Titans, they now have to find a new head coach. A couple names to watch, Colleen. I would say Matt Nagy, who worked with Mike Bergonzi in Kansas City, certainly would be a name to watch. The decorated Chiefs offensive coordinator, and then Arthur Smith, the former Falcons head coach, also a former OC in Tennessee.
You guys hear that? Matt Nagy being considered for NFL head coaching jobs. Tennessee's got themselves a young quarterback. They want to get him on the right path. So they're looking at offensive-minded head coaches to turn things around. And they're going to look no further than Kansas City to try to poach their offensive coordinator. There is not a question in my mind. Now, this is serious. There's not a question in my mind that Matt Nagy will be an NFL head coach again. There's no question in my mind. You've been under Andy Reid. I don't think people really blame you for what happened to the Chicago Bears. You got a great relationship with Patrick Mahomes. And we know this is how the league goes. I mean, I can give you countless examples of offensive coordinator maybe failed on the first job. If it wasn't a total and complete disaster, if you are willing to repair your image somewhere else and do a good job somewhere else as the offensive coordinator, then you move to the front of the line and you'll get another chance to be a head coach. So if the offense continues to look how it's looked, Matt Nagy will be a very hot name for a team to go out and get. With him being a former quarterback, with Andy Reid having so much success and his descendants, his former coordinators and offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, so many of his former coaches going off and having so much success, you get a piece of Kansas City's offense. Matt Nagy has been very instrumental in the development of Patrick Mahomes throughout the years. Matt Nagy's his name is going to continue to pop up. Now, I don't think a lot of people in Kansas City are going to be heartbroken about it, but I'm telling you that is a name. That is not the only job that his name is going to come up. If the job in Miami comes open, he will have a chance to be the Miami head coach. If the Giants job comes available, you will have an opportunity to go coach Jackson Dart. They are going to want to put a younger head coach who has some quarterback experience, and they're going to want to pair him with a young quarterback. Matt Nagy is going to be one of the 5 to 7 hottest candidates available by the time the season ends, especially if the Chiefs offense continues the way that it has over the last couple of weeks. And I don't know why you think it wouldn't. Their offensive line, you would presume, is only going to get better. You get Rashee Rice back. You got the best quarterback in the National Football League, and you got a really good training wheel, so to speak, when it comes to Andy Reid. I think we're talking about one of the 10 best offenses in the league. That offensive coordinator usually gets interviewed for a lot of jobs. Matt Nagy is going to be interviewed for a lot of jobs this offseason.
He is going to be a very first off, before we get into Matt Nagy, did Ian Rappaport say the other name is Arthur Smith? I'm sorry. This is no Matt Nagy. I'm sorry that you're getting dragged here with this comment about Arthur Smith. There is no world where Arthur Smith deserves another job. He forgot Kyle Pitts existed for a whole career in Atlanta. He just
y'all got to give up on Kyle Pitts. Let it go. That's what it got. You got to give up on Kyle Pitts. Y'all been trying to make the Kyle Pitts thing work for the last 4 years because he was really good in college. He ain't that good. Stop.
Kyle Pitts had a good pro career, and then his head coach forgot that he was on the team. Sorry, that just Ian Rapoport saying that, hey,
Kyle Pitts has never had 700 yards receiving in an NFL season. We got to stop this with Kyle Pitts. We wouldn't do this if Kyle Pitts was drafted in the third round. We would not be doing this, but I get it. He was the highest a tight end has ever been drafted, so we just assume that he's supposed to be good. Maybe he ain't good. It's like we know that bust happened in the NFL, but no one wants to admit maybe that's what Kyle Pitts is. Maybe he's just a bust. He certainly is with the Falcons. Maybe he can go somewhere else and kind of turn things around. You know what best case scenario for him is? David Njoku. That's the best case scenario for Kyle Pitts.
The Arthur Smith thing blew my mind. But yes, Matt Nagy is going to get a job, and it's going to happen this offseason. He has rehabilitated his image from fair or foul. He was to call him a failed coach in the NFL, but he was a failed head coach. He has now returned to Kansas City, the cleansing waters of Andy Reid. He has potentially the MVP at quarterback this season. The offense has now turned a corner. He has head coaching experience. He's worked with Patrick Mahomes. He runs the Andy Reid system. We know historically Andy Reid's coaching tree pretty successful. And what does every single owner and GM want when they have a young quarterback? They want an offensive mind. I don't know it's Tennessee, but Matt Nagy come March 1st, just pick a nice clean date, is not the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs. Or at least I don't believe he will be if the Chiefs offense ascends to the levels that people think that offense will ascend to. Matt Nagy doesn't stick around. Now, of course, this leads to the conversation of people saying who the next offensive coordinator will be. It's probably whoever the quarterback coach is right now. It's a natural bump up.
Yeah, no, for sure. Someone on the text line says, C-Doc, Kyle Pitts would be an all-pro if he was on the Chiefs. I mean, maybe. I guess I would just say, I mean, there's other good tight ends in the league that don't play with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I'm looking at Tyler Warren. He doesn't play with Patrick Mahomes. He's better than Kyle Pitts. I mean, Trey McBride, he plays with Kyler Murray. He seems to be very good at his position. No. The answer is Darren Waller right now is balling for Miami. He doesn't have Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. I'm sorry. The Kyle Pitts thing, he just ain't good. He's not that good. He's not. We got too much evidence that suggests that he is not that good. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. He is the pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. A lot of Chiefs news coming out. Matt Nagy's name is being thrown out as a potential head coach for the Tennessee Titans. Patrick Mahomes is number one in MVP odds right now on FanDuel. And the Chiefs right now look like they could possibly be the best team in the league. Keep it right here, Mr. Drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.